Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, I'm going to talk about food today. No surprise. I mean, food is such an important part of our holiday celebrations, you know, any kind of family gathering, birthdays, anniversary, whatever. But I think for Christmas, New Year's, and the season seems to start, well, actually probably with Thanksgiving and just goes right on through New Year's. And so we do special things probably, extra snacks, all those kinds of things. Is there something that you particularly serve, make, bake for a family gathering at Christmas time? At my house when I was growing up, New Year's Eve, we always had oyster stew. Not tops on my list, but I ate the stew part, but not the oysters. And then we always had a plate of, you know, carrots and celery and all those kinds to go with it, and probably some sandwiches. And, you know, I don't remember what we had for dessert, which is sort of a surprise because dessert is usually the highlight of a meal like that. But family traditions, kind of fun to carry on, and makes all those memories come back when you think about those special foods. You know, if you have had traditions for a long time and now you're looking back in time, some of those traditions just bring back hopefully lots of good memories. And I want to talk about some snacks, that a new one that I discovered. I don't think it's new, but I had it for the first time this year. Not healthy at all. The only positive thing about it is it has no trans fats. Other than that, it's all sugar and fat and calories. But talking about that, and I know Jim has visited with Barb Fuller and with Emily Kringle and talking about, you know, we need to stay healthy at the holidays. And that's true. We could eat as many as perhaps 3,000 calories or more in a big festive meal. That's more calories than most of us need in an entire day. But you know what? If you do that once or even twice, no big deal. The problem is when it, as I said, it starts at Thanksgiving and goes through New Year's, and there's many of those kinds of days. And if it's not a big meal, it's all those extra snacks and so on. That's kind of the thing that gets us, not one big event. But as I say, there are some special things. A new one that I discovered this year, and I don't think it's new. I don't know how long it's been going on around the country, but what I discovered was corn pops with almond bark. And like I say, maybe not new to lots of people, but the first one I had, I said, oh my goodness, this is very addictive. And in the group of 12 people that I was with, none of them had had it before either. None of them had eaten it. And all everybody wanted to know, what is this? What is this? Well, I say, other people probably have been making it for a long time. But what I love about it, in addition to it's that sweet, salty combination, and is so yummy, goes down, just melts in your mouth kind of thing, is that it's fast. I like fast things, easy things. It is not necessarily very inexpensive compared to maybe some other kind of snacks, but probably not the most expensive kind of thing either. And that is this almond bark and corn puffs. Now, I'm talking about those corn puffs that you find with the chips and those other kinds of things in that aisle, not the cereal, although I want to come back and talk about the corn puff cereal here for a moment too. For corn puffs with almond bark, all you need to do is buy an eight-ounce package. It's a pretty good-sized package because they weigh practically nothing. And you need there's usually 12 blocks of the almond bark in one package. You need 9 of those for the 8-ounce package of corn puffs. Melt the almond bark in the microwave, a couple of minutes, stir it up, you know, make sure it's all melted. Pour it over the corn puffs, mix it up, and let it, if you can, let it kind of cool a little bit to solidify. That's it. If you want to take the time to break the pieces apart because you're taking it as a gift, fine. But otherwise, that's it. A few minutes in the microwave for the almond bark and that bag of corn puffs mixed up. And that is it. Now, I found out when I talked to some other people that they're using the same kind of thing to make caramel corn. And I have not done this, and I'm thinking, maybe I just as soon have real corn. Not as high in fat, not as expensive to buy. But the advantage is that there's no hulls, no chewing in. It kind of just melts away. And it takes a little more doing because you need to cook the caramel sauce and possibly bake the mixture. But I'll go through that quickly. It's kind of like making caramel corn. In this case, of course, you start again with an 8-ounce bag of corn puffs, popcorn, however you want to say that. 1 cup of butter. Good not to make a substitute there. 1 cup of brown sugar. 1/2 cup of light corn syrup. And 1 teaspoon of baking soda. That baking soda, remember, if you've ever done caramel corn, is what you put it in at the end, and it makes it all puffy, aerated, and so on. So you need to cook the 1 cup of butter and the 1 cup of sugar and the 1/2 cup of corn syrup together and boil it for about 2 minutes. Then you add that teaspoon of baking soda. It'll foam up. Stir it well. Pour it over the corn puffs, mix it up, and then in this recipe, it suggests that you bake it in the oven at 250 degrees for 45 minutes and stirring it every once in a while. Now, I think there's some other recipes that don't necessarily do this step, but I think it probably makes sure that the caramel is more distributed over the corn puffs. I'm sure it's really yummy. If you like, again, that sweet, salty taste, and if you like the caramel flavor, it's probably something you'd really, really like. Now, what about the corn pops? Rather than puffs, I think corn pops, the cereal. Well, you could put that in a lot of different recipes, too. You might use them in that snacky kind of thing that we did with the corn chex. You know, people are still doing the corn chex, and now there's new flavors. There's a honey nut corn chex that I've made one that you add pumpkin pie spice to. And there are other combinations of cereals that you might put together to make a snack. And you might combine the corn puffs with Cheerios, with Pretzels, with peanuts, just kind of, you know, if you've done the Chex Mix before, just kind of use the same basic procedure, the same basic mix, but try substituting some other kinds of ingredients from the corn chex, change them out to some other kind of cereal. And I know in some of your cookbooks, and especially online, you can do a snack with almost any kind of cereal. There's those little cornflake ones that you add chocolate to and make little kind of mountains out of the cornflakes. Also, and I can't give you specific ingredients, but way back when we were doing Christmas programs for Extension, I remember doing the cornflakes with a mixture that had green coloring in it. And we made little wreaths and put a couple of red hot candies on them, and they were really cute. Added to a plate. You know, just a little Christmas spirit there with the cornflakes. Well, what about the corn pops? The cereal, in addition to the snacky kind of thing that I just mentioned, I ran across a recipe for corn pops quiche, a main dish, not a snack, not a probably a holiday kind of thing. But in addition, again, you could use, if you're a quiche person, you know, do your basic quiche recipe with the cheese and the cream and all sour cream, perhaps sausage links, or whatever you have that mixture in, and then add a cup of corn pops to that. It's kind of a filler, just gives you a little more substance to the quiche, and you know, just bake it like you usually do. Now, do you wonder where recipes come from? Many of them, of course, do come from specially hired research people who work for the companies who produce this food. Others happen by accident or by home cooks who just love to experiment. So whatever, I hope you are going to enjoy some of your favorite food this evening, tomorrow, and I wish you the very best Merry Christmas.